G'day, I'm Eric, and welcome to AgPod, episode 474, coming to you from Portland, Oregon, Sunday morning. What am I going to do? I'll just go for a walk and see what happens. So sit back, relax, and enjoy, and see what happens here. Of course, if you've been following me on social networks, and you know how I put these episodes together, you'll know that I survived, but just in case you knew, I survived.
Good morning from Portland, Oregon. It is day number 17 of the trip. Friday the 17th of January 2014. Definitely foggy this morning. Yesterday morning, standing here on the balcony of the hotel, I could see some of the downtown buildings on the other side of the river. The river's only a couple of blocks away from here. I'm near the Broadway Bridge as the Portland streetcar passes by. I could see some of the city buildings. Today I'm lucky that I can see the convention centre. There is still a dense fog advisory in force, and it's just on freezing at the moment, but with my new jacket, my gloves, and my beanie, I'm feeling reasonably warm, although having said that, I've just stepped out of my warm hotel room. Last night, when I saw the dense fog advisory, I was rather concerned about the ability to get my flight next Wednesday if it's like this. You know, fog and aviation's not usually a good mix. Now, of course, up here in the Pacific Northwest, they'd be more used to it. But having said that, of course, there was blizzards affecting the East Coast and New York and whatnot yesterday, and so flights and everything were diverted. So just because things might be here on one side of the country doing another thing, you know, events on the other side of the country can affect things as well. So I looked at the Portland Airport website, flypdx.com, and I was pleased to see that despite the dense fog advisory, that out of the major airlines since midnight up until about 9 a.m, which it's just gone quarter past nine now, there's only been three cancellations by the major airlines, and most of the other flights running on or close to time. So that's a good sign. Having said that, I'm not necessarily confident about leaving here on Wednesday. My flight is out of here at 6 a.m. And I'm not necessarily confident, although of course you trust the airlines. So what I'm doing as a result of that, I'm not actually going to book any accommodation for the overnight in Miami. Because what happens if, for instance, for whatever reason, I can't get to Miami and they divert the plane somewhere else or whatever, and this is going to apply for the New York part as well, well, I'd be somewhere else. So say I'd book the hotel for Miami and then I wouldn't be there, and then I'd have to go through all that rubbish, and it would be up to the airline if they were going to accommodate me if I was in the middle of the trip, or if I was at the end of the trip, it'd basically be up to me. So I'd rather book somewhere when I got there to say, okay, I've now arrived in, I don't know, North Carolina somewhere, North Kakalaki, somewhere like that. So I'd rather book something there when I arrive than possibly not get to Miami. And as I said, same applies for New York. I'd rather do that and then get some accommodation while I'm there. Hopefully I won't have to, but this is what happens when you travel in the North American winter, because there's lots of different variables that can affect things. So my first order of business is to go on the Portland streetcar and to find some shops around here and to find some breakfast. I think that's my first order of business today.
This is the CL line car to Omsi. Southeast Water. Thank you for riding Portland Streetcar.
You didn't miss the Goodwill, right?
Sorry?
You didn't miss Goodwill, right?
I'm not sure. I'm not from around here.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're right. You didn't know.
Where did I start from?
Australia.
That's pretty cool. How long have you been here?
This is my second day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And why you moved here? Sorry, just...
Oh, I know a few people here, so...
It's really interesting. I've never been to Tim
before. Oh, right. I think this is our stop.
Enjoy.
You too. And remember, what happens on the streetcar, what happens in the submarine, stays in the submarine. I'm now at the end of the line. Now at the end of the line of the Portland streetcar at Omsi, or close enough to it. I'm nearly at the bottom of a new bridge that's being constructed to cross the river. The bridge hasn't been named yet. Dr. Normal and I were talking about it the other night. But here it is. And I'll see if I can get a closer shot to it or not. The lady, and I use that term slightly loosely, that I was just talking to on the Yahama streetcar, yeah, on the nod rather severely. Right, woman who wants to talk to me on the streetcar and she's drug fucked. Yeah, that's awesome. Stay classy, Portland. Portland really is a city of bridges. And there's a new bridge that's going over, which will be only a transit bridge. It will only be for things like the MAX and the Portland streetcar, which is rather cool in this day and age, especially in a place like America, where it's so much about the car. So to see, and it's a good looking bridge too. It sort of looks like a traditional suspension bridge. I'll see if I can get a side on view to see how close it is to actually being joined up. The various maps that I've seen on TriMet and also on the Portland streetcar indicated it'll be open in 2015. But of course, yeah, they have to join it up first and then do lots of testing before they actually allow passengers on it. I'm sure there's a trivia question in there somewhere to name all the bridges jet boats today. Really? This will be interesting. I've just seen a sign ahead that says boarding for jet boats. I don't know if I'd want to go jet boating today, considering that it is basically freezing. I don't think it would be operating anyway. As long as you're rugged up, it's not actually a bad day to be out and about walking. The fog has lifted somewhat. I can see what looks to be part of downtown. There, from here it's a nice looking view. Oh look, and here's the submarine that Dr. Normal and I went on the last time we were here. Ah, it looks like it's only got something like 5 to 10 meters to go and then the bridge will be joined up. That's way cool. Here I am standing in front of the USS Blueback, the last
non-nuclear powered submarine for the US Navy outside OMSI here in Portland. Now I'm actually going to try and read part from a Wikipedia page to give you just some sort of history of the submarine. Dr. Normal and I, we actually made a visit to this submarine. You can come here at OMSI here in Portland and you can actually go on submarine tours. Needless to say, it's quite tight down there, down in the submarine. And before you go on the tour, you must be able to demonstrate in the museum that you can actually fit through the front door, so to speak. And if you can't fit through the hole, which is the size of the entry to the into the vessel, well, you can't go on the tour. It's my first time in a submarine, and it was very interesting just to see how tight everything is. And then you'll be surprised in a moment when I get to the stats exactly how many people could fit on this submarine. Now, it was awarded on the 29th of June 1956 when it was built in Mississippi, laid down 15th of April 1957, launched 16 May 1959, commissioned 15th of October 1959, decommissioned 1st of October 1990. So between 1959 and 1990, this submarine was an active vessel for the US Navy. And it was struck from the Naval Register on the 30th of October 1990. And it was donated to the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry, in case you were wondering what OMSI stands for. It's a barbell class submarine, diesel electric. And a top speed of 12 knots, that's 22 kilometres an hour or 14 miles per hour surfaced, or submerged 25 knots, that's 46 miles an hour or 46 kilometres an hour, 29 miles per hour submerged. It has an endurance of 30 minutes at full speed and 102 hours at 3 knots or 6 miles per hour. Now, the complement of how many crew members could have been on board. 8 officers and 69 men. So that is a lot of people inside a submarine, which is basically 219 feet 6 inches or 66.90 meters long. So that's very, very tight living. It had 6 21-inch bow torpedo tubes and 18 torpedoes. It is now on the US National Register of Historic Places. You can see it here at the OMSI, the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry. And if you do get the chance to come to Portland, Oregon, that is a very good museum to come and visit. I'd equate that to the Powerhouse Museum in Sydney. Now, I'm not actually sure if they're doing tours at the moment, but the fact is that I'm basically right in front of the submarine. I can't obviously access it, but the fact that I'm even basically on the wharf with a former US Navy submarine is outstanding. You wouldn't think that you'd be able to get anywhere near the joint, but you can, and I am here. And what happens on the submarine stays on the submarine, I dare suggest. thank you to Quizmaster Polly for reminding me that the USS Blueback was actually in The Hunt for Red October. It was featured during that movie, and it was also featured during the television series Hawaii Five-0. Out the front of where the basically the submarine faces the museum, you can actually see the propeller. They've taken the propeller off the submarine and then they placed it as a memorial for all the submariners who have lost their lives in various battles. Now, of course, if you're talking about a ship that's got a long history, it's hard for me to summarise within, you know, a short message about the history of the submarine. But can you imagine? Okay, some of us complain about a long flight between Australia and the US, you know, 14, 15 hours, something like that. Can you imagine being stuck in a submarine for that amount of time? That's right. Apart from anywhere else, the Blueback has also been in Australia. According to the article that I was reading, it has been to Brisbane, Melbourne and Perth. It's a long time to be in a submarine going at those sort of speeds. And you really understand, if you've seen how small the submarine is and you know how long it takes to get anywhere, you know why sailors and submariners, why they love their shore leave so much, because you can only imagine how keen they would be to get off the boat. I know when I was at 70,000 tonnes of metal last year, I was really enjoying the metal and everything like that, but it was so good to get off the boat and to be somewhere new, on an island somewhere, and being able to walk around and things like that. Even though, of course, there was plenty of room for me to do exactly that on the ship, but it's just the fact that you are getting somewhere. And that's exactly what it's like when you're on a plane for 14, 15 hours. You're just so happy to be somewhere and experience whatever it is that's new around you, and that's what I'm doing on this trip. I've ridden the streetcar right out to the end of the line. I had a quick walk around the OMSI foyer, and now I'm back on the streetcar waiting to go back downtown and have some lunch. But, you know, doing things like riding the streetcar, checking out the suburbs, that's exactly what I want to do. I don't want to do just all the touristy sort of things and spend the whole week, for instance, hanging out down at Pioneer Square. You know, I could, but I don't want to. That's just the type of person I am. I love riding on public transport, the various forms of it, and seeing the differences between the different locations. And I just love seeing streetscapes and listening to what people are talking about on the streetcars and the buses and whatnot. So, yeah, it might not sound to the average person that I'm having a lot of fun, but having said that, I'm not an average person. And I'm travelling, not touristing. So thank you to Quizmaster Polly for the reminder about part of the history of the Blueback. I couldn't believe, looking at the foyer of OMSI, it was actually only $4.75 to take the tour, which was great. And the funny thing was, I mentioned earlier that I didn't know if there were any tours going on today. As soon as I left the wharf, a tour group was coming down. So, yes, there are tours even on days like today.
Can they clear? least we have you to help us out with enough money to get us by until it's clear.
Really? You couldn't even keep me down $20? Nothing.
I know, you're like an ATM. You're like my own personal ATM.
He just spoke $550.
I know you would.
Motherfucker.
Here I am in downtown Portland chasing fire trucks again. Thought one was coming towards me, but obviously not. That's turned off. I was on a number 6 bus just to see where it would go, and I ended up basically at the Oregon-Washington border, but I decided not to go across. I've already got my TriMet ticket for the week. I would have had to have caught another bus over to Vancouver, Washington, but I decided to come back downtown, and that's where I am right now, heading downtown, possibly looking for a fire truck. Oh, there's one of those interceptors that I've seen in San Francisco. They're cool. So I've been riding the bus this afternoon, and also the Portland streetcar, and I've managed to find some shops near my hotel, so that's good. So I'll be able to pick up some supplies, but I'll also be able to, if I'm downtown for instance, go to Target and then bring it back with me on the streetcar. It's only about not even 10 minutes on the bus, on the number 17 bus or on the streetcar, and I'm pretty close to the Rose Quarter, so I can get
many of the Maxes too, if I decided to indeed go for a walk from a Max station. The fog has disappeared, but it's, you know, still cold. Feels pretty comparable to this time yesterday. Tonight I'm going out and watching some hockey, some ice hockey for the first time live. I actually used to play what we'd call hockey in Australia, but you'd call it field hockey to tell the difference. And so it'll be my first time watching a game of ice hockey on TV. No, it'll be my first time watching it live. I have watched it on TV before, but this will be my first time watching it live. So I'm rather looking forward to that. Pretty close to the Coliseum where that's actually being played, so that's nice and convenient. And tomorrow night, at the same location, they've also got roller derby, which will be cool as well. Now, I found the fire truck, fortunately, just a street or two away. Just a street or two away from where I actually am. I dare say that it's probably a medical call, like a lot of the fire calls seem to be here in the US. Oh no, there's some firefighters. They're going into a cleaning store. It's interesting. There's a couple of fully suited up firefighters going into a like a dry cleaners. And a chance for some fire engine photos. Fire engine number 3 from Portland Fire and Rescue. Boy, I'm still here in Portland and I'm still adjusting to the fact that I'm not in a resort or I'm not in what you'd call a full service hotel. I'm in an Econo Lodge, which really isn't too bad. As long as there's a comfortable bed, the location's good, there's a streetcar and there's a bus stop at the door, so the location's good. Bed's comfortable. There's a fridge, there's a TV if I need it, there's a shower, it's all good. But when you're in a place like the resort that I was in Vegas, or the location that I was in San Francisco, you take some things for granted. Like, for instance, knives and forks, and having those available to you. Last night, on Thursday night, I came back to the hotel because it was getting cold and it was getting dark, so I thought,
I have an early night because I had a late night the previous night. So I thought I'd come back to the hotel, and I remember when I was here last year, staying over in Beaverton, otherwise known as the Tron, waves to Robert Wagner, there were no shops or anything anywhere near the hotel. On this occasion, I found them today, the shops, a little bit to the left of me right now, heading away from downtown. There's a Walgreens, there's a couple of different service stations, and there's McDonald's, and there's a bit more up that direction that's within a walk or a couple of streetcar stops. So I do have that ability, and I do have that ability also to grab what I need at Target. The City Target downtown also has groceries, and so if I need some supplies, I'm able to get them, and then I'm about a 10-minute streetcar ride away from downtown, so I can't really complain about the location. But last night I decided to order in, and I ordered steak and chips, and that was okay. I used the company that I used last time, because the couple of nights that I was in the hotel in Beaverton, I got them to deliver some food for me, because, you know, once I'm in, and I wasn't going to walk, you know, who knows how long, because I didn't have a car to go and get something to eat. So I thought, well, get them to deliver it to me. And everything was good. The food was relatively quick in arriving. The order process was easy. It actually recognized there was an option there that says, I am staying in a hotel. So I clicked that option, found the hotel, and everything like that, because I don't know the zip code of the place that I'm staying in. I know it's on Broadway, and I know it's the Econo Lodge Convention Center, which isn't as close to the convention center as I would have thought. Food arrived. The guy forgot to bring the drink that I ordered, so I caught him before he left and said, hey mate, there's no drinks. You didn't bring the drinks up, so he came and brought me the drinks back, and that sort of stuff. Got caught by that last year when I was here. And then I realised after he'd gone that there were no knives and forks of any description here in the room, which was a bit of a bummer. And I could have actually purchased them at the time from the place, but I thought, well, considering that I'm in a hotel, and they know I'm in a hotel, so I'll throw in a set of plastic knives and forks, but that didn't work. And then today, getting some supplies from Target, I've already got my Vegemite here, I've already got some butter that I brought from San Francisco. And so I brought some bread and I brought some peanut butter. But I forgot to get a knife. So I have peanut butter here, I have butter here, I have Vegemite here. And I have no way of eating it. Well, I could eat the peanut butter out of the jar, I guess. But I already have, confession. But yeah, I need to get a knife from somewhere. Yeah, I need a knife so I can spread the bread so I can have some breakfast in the morning. Maybe they'll have some knives at the hockey. I'm not sure. I think they do food there. Otherwise, I might have to take a walk up to the Walgreens or up to the service station or whatever. But I will have some food. Here I am at the Veterans Coliseum in the Rose Quarter in Portland, Oregon, which turned out to be just across the road from my hotel. It looked a little bit more difficult on Google Maps, but by crossing the road and taking a couple of footpaths, sidewalks, call them what you will, I am now here just waiting at the entrance gate. Crowds have started to go in. We're about 45 minutes are down from, I can't really call it kickoff because I don't think they call it kickoff. 45 minutes from the opening puck. I don't know what they call the start of a hockey game. But there's a photo on the wall of the skyline, Portland, Oregon, home of the Memorial Coliseum.
And then there's a photo of the Portland Trailblazers world champions in basketball from 1977, and that's in black and white. The Winter Hawks, who I'm here to see, they look like they're in red, based on all of the various supporters that I can see. There's a lot dressed up here in red and white sporting gear. There's others just dressed in warm gear. Of course, it's night time now and it's rather cold outside. It's about freezing, so I can understand the reason for people just trying to rug up as much as they can. Hard to give a guide on actually how many people are here yet, because I actually haven't reached inside or anything like that, so I can't really gauge where I am. I don't know if this is the only entrance or not, but we are here indeed. I can't wait actually just to watch a game in full and look at all the little nuances that go on. You can add ice hockey to the list of sports that I first seen here in the US. You can add that to roller derby and also baseball. And there's going to be some roller derby here tomorrow night, and seeing as though it's so close to the hotel, and you know, what else would I be doing? Well, I can come across to the roller derby and see. And it's funny actually, after a bump into Polly tonight, I've actually seen more of her this year and over the last 12 months than I have with some of my friends back home. It's just funny how that works, but I'm grateful for her for the idea, because otherwise I just wouldn't have had the idea. I just would have been in the hotel room online, you know, or downtown somewhere like that. Yeah, I might have gone downtown, who knows, but yeah, definitely a great idea. A little bit of, you know, doing what the locals do. You know, I continually try and do that, and seeing this event will be good. The Portland Timbers, the Major League Soccer team, they actually don't start up for about a month or so, so I won't be able to see those guys while I'm here. The Timbers Army are very passionate when it comes to their soccer. A lot of Americans refuse to call football, because football is American football, or otherwise we'd know it as gridiron, or I used to know it as gridiron back in Australia. So yeah, it's gonna be cool. It's gonna be very interesting.
Starting it. that's so
awesome. Behind the men tonight, we have Winter Hawks general manager and head coach Mike Johnston. Joining Mike, we have assistant coaches Kyle Gustafson and Carl Taylor. Our athletic trainer, strength and conditioning coach is Rich Campbell, and equipment manager Mark Brennan. Ladies and gentlemen, please rise and remove your hats as Alita Green performs our national anthem.
They usually get a discount for buying tickets. You get a one.
107 is discount. Actually, the 107 is discount.
Regular or strawberry?
Regular.
$5, please. Do you need peanuts or kettle corn?
Peanuts or kettle corn? Nope. Thank you.
You're welcome. Five for change. Thank you. Lemonade. Welcome.
In the one of the games at the beginning of the season, they have, or the end, maybe at the end of the spring, they do what's called the sunlight game. So it's in the middle of the afternoon, and they open up the ceiling. And so it's really, if you have a nice day, it's beautiful.
Number 6, Dallas Valentine. Interference. That's Valentine, 2 for interference at 1:55 in the first. And the Oregon Lottery Powerball reminds you that that puts Portland on the power play.
Enough to sprint around a freaking field like that, you know? Oh! Yeah, I thought so too.
Well, folks, that was a pretty cool game, a very good introduction to me watching a hockey game live. In the end, it was the Winterhawks 8 defeating the Warriors 2. The Warriors being a team from Canada, and they were absolutely getting smashed for the first period, 4-0 at the first break. And at one stage I thought that the Portland Winterhawks were actually going to make 10 goals, but as it works out, I was thinking of football and basketball where there's quarters. Whereas with the hockey, it's thirds or periods. So I'm thinking, oh yeah, they've still got, you know, 10 minutes of this quarter to go, and then they've still got 15 minutes or 20 minutes in the next quarter to go. But no, 8-2, great result, high scoring game, a little bit of Biff and Barge as well. Very good introduction. Had nice seats. One tier up, and it was good. I got to throw my pucks onto the ice. That's a tradition that I guess I'll find out more about that you were able to do after the second period. You buy some pucks, throw it onto the ice, and then whoever gets closest to the centre wins some coin. There were cheerleaders, which was awesome, and they were dancing on the ice, and they were managing to stay up and dancing on the ice. It would be hard enough. You know, they weren't wearing ice skates. They were wearing special boots, apparently. But that was cool. Over 7,000 people there, which wasn't too bad, considering that next door there was a Portland Trailblazers basketball game on at the same time. I got to meet Sean, who is the voice of the Winterhawks, so I got to meet and hang out with him, so that was rather cool. Thank you to him, and also thank you to Quizmaster Polly for giving me the idea. In actual fact, I am going to the roller derby tomorrow, as I mentioned, and on Sunday there's a day game for the Winterhawks, so I'll be going to see that. Going to try and get a different point of view from a different seat, closer to the glass, which should be very, very interesting. I got some good photos, and I really extended my lens out to its fullest. Normally I just go to the end of the optical range, but I got this really cool shot, haven't seen it on a big screen yet, to see basically the goaltender, or what we in Australia would call the goalkeeper, was basically doing the splits on the ice warming up, and so I got a good shot of that, and I impressed Polly because of the length of the zoom, and also because I was able to upload via my phone to the internet and share that during the game. I was too busy concentrating on the game to tweet much. The main times that I did tweet were during the breaks and also when somebody scored, mainly the Winterhawks. At one stage I was tweeting that they'd scored their 6th goal, and while I was in the middle of tweeting that, they scored their 7th goal at the same time. So yeah, rather cool. It's one thing seeing it on the TV, which I have very casually watched, compared to actually watching a full game. The league that I was watching tonight, you could basically describe that as one or two steps under the NHL, but players from that competition can and do get drafted into the National Hockey League as well. So cool night, cool to hang out, and I certainly enjoyed it. I will be back on Sunday, hopefully with a different perspective on things and a little bit closer to the action, and we'll see what sort of reaction I get on that particular occasion. But rather cool, really, really enjoyed it.